force himself on us. He's just not that kind of God. You know, I know we're not fans of the long-haired Jesus pictures because Jesus most likely did not have long hair. We're well aware of that. And, you know, but you see a lot of those pictures in nursing homes, and sometimes you see them in people's homes, and where it's got Jesus, that's usually the long-haired version, standing on one side of the door, and he's knocking, and on a wooden door, Brother Mike, you know. And on the other side, you notice that door doesn't have a handle on the Lord's side. He's knocking. And you know, that really is biblical, that part of it, Brother Gary, because he doesn't open the door of his own accord, and he doesn't kick it in. You know, he ain't going to force it open. It's up to us to open the door, and then the Lord will come in. And that's the same thing he's saying here. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. So, Brother Terry, I can carry it around on my shoulders as long as I want to. I don't have to take it to the Lord, but the Lord told me to. And it's a divine privilege of the Lord that we as his children can take our cares and bring them to the Lord. All those burdens and all those things that weigh us down, it's a divine privilege. But sadly, sometimes we don't take advantage of it. We don't bring them to the Lord. We'd rather pack them around ourselves or try to deal with them ourselves. And that's not the way God designed it. He didn't, like we talked about last week, we were talking about peace. The Lord never designed us. I mean, we literally were not made to be able to handle stress like that, Brother Mike. I'm not the creator of everything, brother. I can't manipulate all circumstances so they can work out a certain way, but God can. Now, he can do all things. That's why I'm to look to him for everything, Brother Gary. And I try to do it myself. And I try to take more on me than was meant to be put on me. And again, it makes us dependent upon the Lord, which God wants us to be. If we get too independent, we think we can do everything ourselves, then we no longer need to fellowship with God. We no longer need to pray and ask God for anything. Well, we ought to all recognize, I'm sure, by this point in our life, that we're very dependent on the Lord for everything. For everything. But he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, and I will give you rest. Boy, that's a blessing. That's a privilege. Rest. Just and you know that can be applied more than one way. Well, it can be rest from whatever it is we're going through, but Mike, it can just be mental rest of knowing that God's going to take care of it. And you don't always see that overnight. I know, Brother Scott, when things are going on, we don't always see it right now. I mean, when we ask God for something, the answer doesn't always come immediately. Like God, sometimes it does, Brother Gary, shortly thereafter. And some things we have to pray about for a long time. But that's where patience comes in. Right? And the Lord said we're supposed to wait patiently for it. So, you know, we can have still, even when the circumstance is still boiling over in our life, we can still have mental rest just knowing that, hey, I've taken that to the Lord. He's going to work it out in his own time. I can put my mind at ease because I've given it to God. And the storm might still be raging, but in his time, he's going to steal the storm. It's just a matter of time. God's going to take care of it. Somehow, some way, according to his will, he's going to take care of it. And you can just have mental rest because, boy, you can just be anxious and nervous and troubled, you know. And, boy, I know for my job, I constantly have to ask people about their health because insurance companies are concerned about that. Obviously, they don't want to give you life insurance if they think you're 2 weeks from dying, you know, or got something wrong with you, about to kill yourself or whatever. So I constantly have to ask people about their health, and a lot of folks have suffered with a lot of depression and anxiety in our day and time. I mean, that's extremely common. I hear that constantly. And we live in a stressful time, and no doubt some of the folks I'm talking to, not everybody, but some of the folks I'm talking to are lost people, which is definitely understandable. And I'm not saying as a Christian it's wrong to be on some type of anxiety medication. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we live in a stressful time. We do. And boy, if we don't take those things to the Lord, we're certainly going to deal with more of it than we ought to. And there's a lot of things in life that can bring anxiety, that can bring stress. And you don't have to think long to think of some things that can do that. Just think of some things in your own life. You know, and we always get the impression, I think, when we come to church, we look around at brother or sister so-and-so, and it looks like they're not having a problem in the world. Isn't that what we usually think? Brother Bad, I think that. I don't know if anybody else does. Man, nobody else is having problems but me. I'm the only one going through trouble, brother. Like everybody else is just having a great time. When you get talking to another brother or sister, you find out it's not that way at all.
Right.
We we've all got things that we're carrying around, things that we're dealing with. Every one of us individually, we've all got stuff. That's just life, right? Yeah. We got to have some place to take that, or man, we're going to live our lives down in the mouth and our lip dragging the ground all the way to glory. Well, God said, bring it to me. He said, I'll give you rest. He said, come unto me, all you that are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I think he knew that that would be something that would be upon mankind, right? Laboring, heavy laden, you know. And he knew that that's something that we had to deal with. And he said, bring it to me. Come to me. I'll give you rest. And boy, that's a privilege that all of us need to take advantage of, and not try to carry around things and deal with things alone. Things on. I know we're literally, we're never alone after we get saved. But boy, you can feel like you are. If you don't bring things to God, if you don't walk close to God, you can feel mighty, mighty lonely, because we can break fellowship with him. It's just like, well, it's not just like, it's much more significant, but it'd be like arguing with a good friend. You're not talking. You see them, they see you. They're still your friend, Brother Mike, but boy, there's some discord there. I mean, there's been a rift in the midst, and man, you can't carry on a conversation with them. You see each other, and you pass by one another, but you're not talking. That fellowship is not there. Well, it's that way with the Lord. He's still present. He's still there, but boy, that fellowship is gone, and man, the blessings, if he can cut the stream of blessings off, I mean, it's just a... And like I said, chastisement can come at times too, and we certainly don't need to live there and dwell there. He said, bring all those things to me. The Lord said, I'll give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank God for that. He said, verse number 9, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But he said, if we take our yoke upon him and learn of him, he said, he's meek and lowly in heart. And he said, you shall find rest unto your souls. I want that rest, Brother Mike. I don't have to go through life and feel like fingernails on a chalkboard all the time. And there's plenty to bring that along. Man, if your lives are like mine, yeah, man, you'll go through a storm. Somebody said yesterday, it's the truth, we've heard this said a million times, you're either going into a storm or you're coming out of one, getting ready to go back into it. It's the truth. If you're not in a storm right now, hang around a few days. Something's coming. It's just that way. And I'm not saying let's look at our life and, oh, God, all I have to look forward to is a storm and get down about it. No, I'm just saying it's life, and we got to learn to take it to the Lord so we can live in victory and have a good attitude. How is she going to have a good attitude? If not, and be happy. I mean, if not, we're only going to be happy on the good days, right, Mike? Right. Which are here and there, kind of scattered through life. Right. Okay, so I'm going to have a few, and I'm going to be down the rest of the time. I don't think that's the way God, I know that's not the way God intended for us to live. He doesn't want us to live like that. He wants us to learn how to have rest and peace even in the midst of those things. Now, I'm not saying you're always going to be bouncing off the walls happy, you know, and just bubbling over, but hey, we can have peace, we can have joy, we can have satisfaction, we can have rest even in the midst of a storm. And it takes faith to do that. It takes faith, because you can't go by what you see and have that kind of peace. You just can't. There's no way. I mean, they're just circumstances that you're looking at that say, you know, in the world would say, are you an idiot? Don't you see what you're facing and what you're going through? Don't you see what's going on in your life? And what's wrong with you? I had my mom talk to me like that before, but she doesn't understand. She's not saved. You know, don't you see? You know, what are you thinking about? You know, we need to be thinking about the Lord. We need to be thinking about deliverance. We need to be thinking about his ability and not ours. And I remember the illustration we used all the time when Peter, boy, he was the Lord. He wanted to step out on the water. He wanted to walk on water just like the Lord. And he had faith to believe that God could do it. And the Lord's standing out there on the sea, and when he bids Peter to come to him, Peter steps out of the boat, and man, he's taken out on top of the water. I'm like, wow. You know, what faith? He was fine as long as his faith was in the Lord. Then he got out there and started realizing, what in the world am I doing? I'm standing on, this is the ocean. Now, I wonder how deep this is. You know, I don't know what was going through his mind, looking at the waves, and when he got his mind on the circumstance, what happened? He started to sink, right? As his faith subsided, he did too. He was sinking. The Lord had to grab hold of him to save his life. Same way for us. We're fine mentally. Everything's wonderful as long as our faith and confidence is in the Lord. As soon as we get it on the circumstance, you can sink. How many of you have gone into a storm before having faith? Start in that way. And halfway, three quarters of the way through, faith's gone. Hey, God must not be listening. Man, I've been praying. I prayed 4, 5, 10, 12, 100 times. I've been praying. God's not hearing. What's going on? Right. And we start taking it back on our shoulders. Well, God's not listening, so I got to do something. No, that's lack of faith. That's losing faith halfway through. It's just like what Peter did. We're made of the same stuff. I'm not saying we're awful people because that's happened, but we should certainly try to grow beyond that and keep our faith in the Lord no matter what the circumstance looks like, no matter how long we've been praying. And sometimes God just wants us to continue in prayer and be patient, wait patiently on Him, right? That's what He wants us to do. Don't give up so easy, you know? I felt like that before, Brother Mike, and it's real easy to have tons of faith, I found, when God's answering a lot of prayer in your life and it's happening quickly. I've had times like that in my life, and I thought you all probably, I'm sure, have had the exact same thing happen to me. It seemed like everything you prayed for, God's answering here, He's answering there. God can do anything. You're praying about everything, everything's happened. And then sometimes He's slow on a response. Maybe sometimes the answer is no. Or He just takes a while to get around to do it. Maybe it's one of those times I need to wait. Well, then if I'm going to watch real much, my faith starts to slip away sometimes. And I start worrying. And worry comes in. And all the junk that comes with the stress and the heartburn and everything else mentally. It's like on your mind all the time. And well, at the point we quit taking it to the Lord, that's when all the stress and everything comes in. But we've got to learn how to be persistent. And yes, God acts quickly sometimes. And sometimes He doesn't, Brother Fad. Sometimes He doesn't act quickly. Sometimes He realizes that, hey, I'm going to answer this, but it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while. He promised, we're getting ready to look at in a few minutes, that the Lord will help us get there. He promised David rest from his enemies. He said, I'm going to give you rest one day from your enemies. You know, I'm going to give you another seed. I'm going to establish your kingdom. I'm going to give it to your son. They're going to have rest. But you know what? David didn't get to see that most of his lifetime. He was a man of war. He was constantly having to fight. Constantly a Philistine or somebody to deal with, an army, a Saul coming after him, pursuing him. I mean, David had to find a way to find rest because his life was filled with turmoil. And I think that drove him to the feet of Jesus. I really do. It drove him to the feet of the Lord. And David, Brother Mike, learned how to find peace in the midst of a storm. He went through more turmoil than about anybody you read in Scripture. But he was closer to God than about anybody you read about in Scripture, other than, we know, his obvious mistake, which is a big one. But he was closer to God than most people you read about in Scripture, but had more turmoil than most people you read about in Scripture. I think one might have something to do with the other. I think God might have been using that to mold and make him into the Christian that God wanted him to be. You better believe he did. Remember what the Apostle Paul said about affliction? He said, I went to the Lord and sought the Lord 3 times that he might take this away from me, this thorn in the flesh. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul learned that sometimes it was those circumstances that he didn't like that were actually drawing him close to God. Is it that way in your life? It's that way in mine. I'd say, Brother Mike, when everything's going pretty good at the house, there's not the need there for me sometimes to pray like there is when the bottom falls out of everything down here. And I think sometimes, at least in my life, the Lord has to pull the bottom out of everything to get me back on my knees the way that I need to be, back close to Him. And I'm trying. I'm asking God now, Lord, help me stay here when things are going good, too. I don't want you just to have to yank the rug out from under me just to remind me how much I need to walk with you, you know. But it's different. It's it's different. You know, when things are going wrong and we've got to go to the Lord in prayer, it's different than it is when everything seems like it's okay. You know, when you're having some reproach from the trouble in life, and thank God, God gives us some of those times. Praise the Lord for them. He even gives us some rest in this life from trouble. But David had to live most of his life in anguish. I mean, he had to do that, and he learned how to find rest in the Lord in the midst of his trials. And that's what I'm telling you, we've got to learn how to do, because life's going to be full of them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And we got to have faith in God and Scripture like that on our mind to get us through those times. God, and remind God of His Word. He didn't mind that. He says, prove me now. Herewith saith the Lord, see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing there's not room enough to contain. And that's a pretty darn good promise. We ought to claim that. We ought to remind God, man, when tribulation like that's coming and afflictions are coming, Lord, you said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God, you said you'd deliver us out of them all. And God, I'm asking for deliverance. Lord, help me. You know, and whether it's a day, a week, or several years, we ought to trust God. And he can do it quickly, or he'll do it sometimes in his own time. And Brother Mike, I've seen it in my own life, and I don't know the mind of God. I don't know the heart of God. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. I recognize that very well. But I've seen some in my life, brother, that the Lord, looking back on my life now, I can see some things that the Lord needed to leave there for a little while because he was working on me. And if deliverance had come too quickly, Brother Gary, he wouldn't have been able to mold and make me in that particular circumstance the way that he did. Because deliverance would, well, isn't that the way we'd always like it? Trouble comes, God take care of it, squashed, okay. God, another one comes, God take care of it, that one's out of the way. We never change as people. We just keep right on doing everything the way we've always done it. You know, we're just us. But boy, I found in the midst of those circumstances and those trials and that tribulation, that affliction sometimes, Sister Mary, God's working on me. It's not a pleasant process, Brother Gary, but I need it. I need it. And tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. You can't have any of that without the tribulation. That's something we enjoy, but something we need sometimes. And God's our Heavenly Father. He knows what we need. God wants us to have rest, and He wants us to be able to find rest even in the midst of a bad situation sometimes. So take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest under your souls. That's the only place we're going to find rest in this life is in the Lord. Because looking out the window, looking at our circumstances, thinking about what we've got to face in the coming week, the coming year, the coming whatever, you can't find rest in that. But you can certainly find it in the Lord. Because he controls all those things out there, Brother Gary. That's why he said take no thought for the morrow. He didn't want me trying to figure out what's, you know, dealing with tomorrow. Today's big enough, right? And I'm supposed to pray for my daily needs. God will take care of tomorrow just like He'll take care of today. And He has the next day under control. And the next day, He knows exactly what we're going through. He doesn't want us thinking about all that stuff out there. He wants us to put our trust in Him that He'll get us through. That He'll get us through. God designed rest. He even had rest for the land over in Exodus chapter number 23 and verse number 10. And this is under the law. I know that it's applicable to what we're talking about now, and I don't doubt at all if they took this and did it this way, I think the crops would prosper by it. In fact, I heard of a farmer that did that very thing and did had like a bumper crop the next year just because he was taking God at His word. Exodus chapter number 23 and verse number 10. In 6 years thou shalt sow thy land and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat. And what they leave, the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with the vineyard and with the oliveyard. He's saying, let the land rest. Even rest for the land, Brother Gary. Then this is for his people. He said, verse number 12 of Exodus chapter number 23. He said, 6 days shalt thou, or 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thine handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. He said, on the seventh day thou shalt rest. God knows we need rest even from our labor. And I'm not just talking about spiritually and mentally, but just physically we need rest. I mean, sometimes if you push yourself so hard and so long, you just feel like collapsing. You know, God knows we need rest. And again, not 100% of the time, every day of the week, God means for us to work. But we need rest from our work as well. Exodus 34:21, he said again, 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. God said, no matter what's going on, whether it's harvest time, if any of you ever been around a farm, I grew up on one for part of time. Harvest time, Sister Mary, is not a time for the normal farmer where they rest.
Amen.
My uncle would be up at 4 in the morning, go to bed, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, whatever, after you finish combining. It's not a time for rest. But God said, in the harvest too, thou shalt rest. And he knows we need rest. I mean, we need the rest. And Leviticus chapter number 23 and verse number 3, he said, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. I think it's a good thing on Sunday. We use the Lord's Day, Sunday, the first day of the week. I think it's a good day to rest if you can. I know sometimes there are situations where we got ladies out there preparing a meal right now. Now, they can't rest the same way we can. Hopefully later on this afternoon they can. But I think if you can, if you're able, you ought to rest on the Lord's Day. Man, it's a good day to sit down, Brother Gary, and kind of mentally just meditate on what the preacher's preached that morning, what God's given you, maybe something during a song or something during the fellowship or at Sunday school, whatever it was. Just meditate on what God's given you and really think about that. And rest your body and rest your mind and think on the things of the Lord. And it's a good day to kind of rebuild yourself for the week coming up. Because most people watch life at such a pace, it's just like it never stops. It's just like, man, you go from one thing right into another, into another, into another. The next week it's starting all over. It helps to get some rest sometimes, physically and mentally. When we can't, I understand all the time it can't be done. Sometimes there's situations that demand other things, but if we can, we should certainly try to. Joshua chapter number 21, we're just talking about how God feels about rest and some illustrations of that from the scriptures. Joshua chapter number 21 and verse number 43. God gave Israel at times rest from her enemies. Brother Tom, it almost always happened after they had done something and lived in a way that was pleasing to the Lord. God would give them rest from their enemies. And that's what he did here in Joshua chapter number 21, verse number 43. The Bible says, and the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers. And they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them, not even one man. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Remember, he told them before he go in to take that land of milk and honey, he said, I'm going to give the enemies into your hand. You're going to go in there and take it from them. I'm going to give you the ability. And that's exactly what he did. And then he gave them rest. They didn't even have any enemies. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. And it's still that way when it's God's word. Everything comes to pass. If it hadn't yet, it's going to, or it's in the process of doing it right now. 1 Kings chapter number 5, and this is talking about David. 1 Kings chapter number 5 and verse number 3, Solomon said here, thou knowest how that David my father could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side. Yet David couldn't construct the house of the Lord because he had blood on his hands. I mean, he was a man of war. He'd taken a lot of lives. And God didn't want him to build his house. Now, it was David's burden of David's heart, Brother Thad, to build the house of the Lord. And he gathered a lot of the materials together, but he couldn't construct it. That was something that would come after. He was going to let Solomon do that. And it wasn't a punishment to David. It was just the fact that God's so holy, he wants things to be undefiled, Brother Gary. And he couldn't have David constructing his house and being a man of war and taking the lives of the enemies the way that he had. Thou knowest how David my father could not build an house under the name of the Lord his God, for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. So recognize it was the Lord that was enabling David to do that. Again, it wasn't a punishment in that way. It was just something that David couldn't do. It was a position that David couldn't fill. And God's got things for all of us like that. But there's some things I can't do because it's just not God's will for me to do them. Brother. There's some things for you all that it's not God's will for you to do, but there are other things that are God's will for me to do and for you to do. It just wasn't David's place. Verse number 4. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest, Solomon said, on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
God promised that to David, told him that would happen. He also promised it to Solomon. And he said, Solomon, there won't cease to be a man of your loins, of your lineage, of your children, to sit on the throne of Israel. He said, I'll promise you the same thing that I promised your father, David. I'm going to give you the same promise. He said, if you don't stray from me, if you don't start worshiping idols. And Solomon did a real good job of that for a while. He got older in life, and many men in the Bible, their downfall was women. He had women trouble. And he was still having women trouble in his older age, and some of those women were heathen women, and they worshiped other gods. And you find from the Word of God, Solomon began to build temples to these other gods for these women. And he began to go up there with them. And they turned his heart from the Lord, the Bible said. That's what happened to Solomon later on. And then he suffered because of that. There was a great deal of Solomon's life where he served God faithfully. In fact, he said he didn't have an enemy on any side, and he didn't. In fact, there are other leaders of other countries, kings and queens, that would come to Solomon for wisdom. And man, they'd load down just wagons and chariots with gold and with all kinds of precious stones and things just to bring them to Solomon when they came. And it is unbelievable to see how God blessed him and blessed the kingdom during that time. But God had made a promise that he said he'd give him peace, and he gave him peace. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying there's times that God even gives us peace from our adversaries, just like he did Israel. Peace from those that trouble us, brother Mike. And he can do that. And most of the time, about the only time I see in Scripture where God does that is when somebody's been serving God faithfully, and God says, you know what, because you've done that, I'm going to give you peace. In a certain space, sometimes it's days, months, sometimes it's years. And we find in Israel's history, there were sometimes years, 40 years in one place, we found that they had peace from their enemies, from like that. Nobody came against them. Most of Solomon's reign was like that, probably over 40 years. I didn't go back and look at the exact time frame, but it was a great deal of time. 1 Kings 8, chapter number 54. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying, now this is when he was dedicating the house of the Lord that he had built. David put the things together, and he had a desire to build a house for the Lord. God let his son do it. And now it was constructed, it was done, and this is a major undertaking. I mean, you read what went into the house of the Lord that they built. It's mind-boggling. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. So from Moses forward up to Solomon's time, he said there hadn't failed one word of all his good promise. He's given rest to Israel. And he can bring rest into your life if you're in the midst of turmoil. And even if God lets the turmoil go on in your life, he can give you rest in the midst of it. Right in the middle of it, Brother Gary, he can give you rest. And then thank God, there are times too that the Lord can just calm the storm, Brother Mike. Just take away the thing that's making us anxious. But he wants us to have enough trust in him, Brother Anthony, that even when the storm's going on, we can have rest. He wants us to have that kind of faith in him. And God help us to grow to have that kind of faith. J. Joshua chapter number 21 and verse number 43, another place where the Lord gave Israel rest from their enemies. The Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. They just read that a minute ago. There failed not all of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Psalms chapter number 37 and verse number 3. Psalms 37 and verse number 3. The Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed.
Yeah.
Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. God said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. There's times, Brother Tom, where we just need to wait patiently for God. Answer might not be coming right now, Brother Gary. Doesn't mean it's not coming. Doesn't mean that God's not working it out. He just said, wait patiently. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. So see, we can still have trouble going on and still rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, Brother Mike, in the midst of that trouble. If you didn't have to wait for him in trouble, why would we have to wait patiently? You know, if he'd already provided the answer, there wouldn't be any waiting, right? Sometimes we have to wait patiently. That's what God said. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Well, that Psalm 37 has got a lot of promises to claim there, lots of things here. But the Lord said, delight thyself in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. Trust in the Lord, do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. There's a lot of promises there from God. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves why we need to be at rest. If you would turn over to Psalms chapter number 116, and will that be the last place we'll turn? We'll try to finish out there. I've got a few more verses, but I don't have to run out of time to read them today. Psalms 116 and verse number 1 when you get there. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves why we need to be at rest. The Apostle Paul said he constantly, he was telling the believers that, he said, I stir up your minds by way of remembrance. I want you to remember some things. Sometimes we need to remember some things, Brother Gary. Sometimes we need to remember God's deliverance in the past so we can have hope for the present, right now. I need to remember what God did before so I can have peace in the situation that I'm going through now and realize that God's no different now than he was back then. And how many times have you come up against situations in your life already that you didn't think you'd ever get past? All of us have come up against situations we didn't think. But Sean's situation, we didn't think we'd ever get through. You think, well, how in the world? Now, this one's going to sink my ship for sure. I don't care whether it's a health problem. Brother Paul, you faced some things with your heart in the past, brother. I'm sure you thought, well, I don't know what's going to happen now. Well, now God's helping restore his heart. I mean, my God, that's a miracle. You know, some things that the Lord's done. When we come up against situations, I don't care whether they're your job, they're your health, they're your finances, it's a problem in your family. How many of those problems, Brother Mike, have we been through already that we thought this one's going to take me down right here? This will be the end. This is going to be the one that's going to take me out. And somehow, we're still here, right? Still going. But by the grace of God, that's why. We need to remember the same God that delivered me back there is the same God that's going to get me through right now. We need to remind ourselves of that. Because lest the burdens and cares of life weigh on us too heavy, remember we're serving the same God. Psalm 116, verse number 1, the psalmist said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Praise God for that. because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. We've been there. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. He's remembering what God did for him. And he said, verse number 7, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Praise God. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Verse number 7, he said again, he said, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. And sometimes you're at rest, you're at peace, and life's going, I'm not saying life's going well, but in your soul, you're at peace. Your soul is at rest. And then, Brother Gary, something will pop up in life that tries to take that rest away from you, that peace, that solace, whatever you want to call it, that joy of walking with the Lord and knowing that God's got everything under control. And boy, something new will arise, and it'll try to get you all worked up. And the psalmist is saying here, he said, return unto thy rest, O my soul. He reminded himself of some things that God had done for him. And he said, I need to return to my rest. What am I doing? I don't need to get worked up. Look what God's already delivered me from. I'm going to return unto that rest. I'm going to settle my mind. I'm going to settle my heart. I'm going to return rest to my soul that God's given me. Because I remember what God did before. I don't need to get worked up. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Can we all say that this morning? Hath the Lord dealt bountifully with every one of us? And why get worked up? Why let your soul come out of the rest that God's got in it? Let it return unto that rest. Have that peace that God wants it to have. We don't need to live an anxious life. Thank God for this prophecy that's already, again, as we've already read, there hadn't failed one good word of all his promise. There's not failed any word of God's prophecy. Isaiah chapter number 11, verse number 10. This has been fulfilled, and we've been, thank God, not only has it been fulfilled, but we've been partakers of it. Isaiah 11, verse number 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. The Lord's rest. His rest shall be glorious. And we are the Gentiles. We're part of that number. The Gentiles that sought the Lord. And the Bible says that his rest is glorious, and certainly it is. That's why the Lord said, again, he said in Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, he said, and I will give you rest. He's the only one that can do that. God's the provider of rest this morning. And if your soul's in turmoil, man, I mean, if you're anxious, if you're troubled this morning, run to the Lord. He'll give you rest. He'll give it to you every time. He can give it to you anytime you need it. We need to stay there. We need to bring our burdens and our cares and our troubles before the Lord. He'll give us rest. Father, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your promises. Lord, help us, God, as your people, Lord, to take advantage of them, dear God. They're there for our taking, for our use. But you said your people perish for a lack of knowledge. God, help us, Lord, to take what we know of your word, and God, to practice it and to put it into use, and be partakers, Lord, of this rest that you provided for us in your word. God, when the troubles and cares of life come, Lord, that we'd be able to run to you for refuge and find hope and God and peace and shelter, Lord, from the storms of life. And thank you, dear God, for giving us the privilege to even be able to do that. In Jesus' name we pray.